Good morning. Memorial services continue today in Fort Hood, Texas. 13 people have lost family members there after a man charged with helping them ended by shooting them down. Kaylee Vanneker lost her father, retired Chief Warrant Officer Michael Grant Cahill.
My dad would just, he loved to read. He could talk on hours about public affairs and current events. He was just, our house is like a library. He read two or three books at one time. We would spend time playing games and sitting around the kitchen table and just talking about books and things that are going on and, you know, topics and history. And I'm just, you know, he was just a great father, always around, supportive. I mean, we talked. I always just called to talk to him about if I had questions on something or just needed to say hello.
That's Kaylee Vanneker talking about her father, retired Chief Warrant.
In that voice, trying to find her own sort of form of closure. And I was looking at the list of the victims.
Yeah.
You know, it is an amazing portrait of the diversity of American Army bases.
Every
walk of life, practically.
You can look at them as victims. Obviously, these are more than victims. These are people who had family, they had history, they had their own loved ones and their own individual lives. And we have Chaplain Colonel Frank Jackson with us. He's the garrison chaplain at Fort Hood. And Chaplain Jackson, You heard that cut from Kaylee Vanneker, and you've been speaking with bereaved family members like Kaylee, and it sounds to me when I listen to her like the most important thing she's going through right now is trying to remember her father and talk about him as a man and an individual. Is that fairly normal with the others that you're speaking with?
I think so. Well, not I think so. I know so, because the important thing is, in fact, one of the things you do as chaplains and as grief counselors is to encourage the surviving members to remember the events with their family members and to celebrate those events with their family members that they can remember. And because that's all part of that healing process and the recovery process. And that was just a very powerful testimony that she shared about her father. Yes.
As John was saying, these victims are all extremely diverse, very diverse backgrounds. How do you find a common ground with them when you are trying to help them get over a very traumatic event? What common thread do you find with all these extremely different families and loved ones?
The common thread is the tragedy itself, how they work through and how they deal with the grief process is really an individual kind of event. So all we try and do as counselors and encouragers is to just kind of journey with them through that process and provide support, because everybody works at their own, however their personality style and how things have affected them. So it's not, we don't tell people, okay, this is where you are and this is where you're going. It's a matter of just responding and just encouraging them as they go through the process.
Well, Colonel,
but the common thread is is the event itself.
Sure. Well, you know, Colonel, I listened to your remarks at the service on Sunday. I have to admire, you know, your tone and compassion. You know, the president is going to meet with the family members today. I don't know if the same family member we spoke with, but does something like that help, or does it create a sense of spectacle that maybe most people would want to avoid?
I think it all depends on how it's handled. I think it's fantastic that the president is taking the time to visit with the family members, and I know that every we're going to do the best they can to try and keep it from being the spectacle. So I think there's going to be very much focus on the privacy or the engagement that he has with them as a group or individually or however that's going to be managed. But I think anytime anybody can step into that moment and say, I am sorry for your loss and I'm praying with you or encouraging you or walking with you through this journey, and it's a non-judgmental kind of thing, or not trying to tell people where they need to be, that I think that's always encouraging, whether it's the president or anybody else, to just say to someone, I want to come alongside of you in this moment, and if I can be of support or help, I think that's always very healthy.
Okay, thanks, Chaplain Jackson. Chaplain Colonel Frank Jackson is the garrison chaplain at Fort Hood. Now, back to Scott Shane, who we spoke with earlier. He's the national security reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Scott, we talked a little bit earlier about the ties that Hassan may have had with a radical cleric, and why or why not the FBI may have dropped the matter after they were looking into Hassan. But that cleric, Anwar al-Awlaki, posted on his website that he called Hassan a hero and that he was a man of conscience who couldn't bear living the contradiction of being a Muslim and serving in the army that's fighting against his own people. How does that jibe with what we're hearing from friends and relatives of Hassan?
Well, you know, it appears not that, at least so far, investigators believe that Major Hassan was not part of some organized, foreign-based terrorist organization like al-Qaeda. But based on what we know so far, it sounds like he was sort of reaching out and searching around. This guy, Anwar al-Awlaki, was born in the United States of Yemeni parents, has sort of been back and forth between the United States and Yemen. He was actually portrayed in the press as a sort of a moderate. He had worked in a number of mosques in the United States, and he'd actually had some contact with a couple of the hijackers, the 9/11 hijackers, it turned out. He then moved to Yemen after 2002, and he's emerged as an extremely popular online figure for English language militants. And we don't know, again, what the messages were that Major Hassan sent to this guy in Yemen. When the presumably the National Security Agency intercepted them and passed them on to the FBI, and they were read and assessed, apparently they did not express any intent to commit violence, and they were explainable as part of some kind of research project that Major Hassan was doing then at Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington.
So he may be a moderate, he may be a radical, but I would imagine most people would say calling Hassan a hero is a little extreme. That's Scott Shane. Thank you so much. He's the national security reporter for our partner, the New York Times. President Obama will speak at today's memorial service for the shooting victims at Fort Hood.
I think my mother's looking forward to it. I think that's going to help us get closer to closure. At the same time, it's kind of, that's just one step closer to the finalization and realization that my dad is dead.
That's Kaylee Vanneker, the eldest daughter of a Fort Hood shooting victim, Chief Warrant Officer Michael Grant Cahler, in a conversation with The Takeaway, speaking about her father's memorial service coming up.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.